Well, yesterday I was at least a small owner of General Motors as a citizen, but that may not be the case today. John Taylor joins us from Stern AG and Leach at 820 South 21st Street. Good morning, John.
That's true. No more government motors, and we'll talk about that at length. Well, the Dow futures were down about 40 points this morning. Yesterday, the markets crept up a little bit after the big rally last Friday. However, even though the S&P was only at 3 points, it set another record in terms of its all-time high. General Motors yesterday, the government did sell the final shares of stock Treasury Department held. Now, you remember that, of course, back in 2008 when the financial crisis happened, that the government, that is us, the taxpayers, put up about $49.5 billion to keep General Motors from going under. And it's succeeded. I mean, the company's still existing, and a lot of jobs were saved. It looks like that the net loss to the taxpayer on the General Motors experiment was about $10.5 billion. A spokesman of General Motors said yesterday that they expect the fact that they're now shedding the tag government motors will immediately attract a surge of new buyers, and he says particularly of pickups. I don't think I understand that. Yes, also will attract new investors to the company. Now, the stock has done quite well. Yesterday, the stock closed at an all-time high of $40.90 a share. It's up 42% year-to-date. The S&P 500 up a mere 27% in comparison. It's kind of interesting that there's an organization, the acronym is CAR, C-A-R. It stands for the Center for Automotive Research. Of course, they're funded by the auto industry, but they say that the $49.5 billion that taxpayers advanced to General Motors saved $105 billion that would have been lost in taxes and transfer payments and social insurance and personal income tax collections and et cetera. Of course, you can't verify that, but it sounds really, really good. And by the way, now that the U.S. Taxpayer has exited as a stockholder, the largest shareholder in General Motors, United Auto Workers, they own 9.2%. Number two, the Canadian government was 7.2%. Now, Walmart yesterday, I'm saying that you remember they've been involved in this controversy about the bribery case in Mexico that the New York Times revealed in a scathing article back in April of 2012. Turns out that Walmart apparently knew about that maybe a year or more earlier than that. Well, Walmart has dealt harshly with that in terms of trying to get to the bottom of it. They say they've spent about $400 million by the end of their fiscal year, which is the end of January, in terms of investigations, global compliance programs. Now, there's still some lawsuits pending. CalPERS, that's a California State Teachers Retirement System, largest retirement system in the country, and two other pension funds are lead plaintiffs in a 2012 lawsuit against Walmart and its directors for violation of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. And even though Walmart says they've spent $400 million, their problems really are not over with. They still have investigations ongoing by the Department of Justice and the SEC about violations of that Corrupt Practices Act. And based upon those investigations, there could be criminal convictions or fines involved. So story's not really completely over yet. A couple of interesting things that were revealed yesterday by the Federal Reserve. The Fed says, based upon their data, that U.S. households have recovered most of the wealth that they lost in the recession in 2008. And they say that the value of our net worth, the value of our homes and stocks and mutual funds, et cetera, rose 2.6% or about almost $2 trillion in the third quarter of this year, getting us back to $77.3 trillion. If you adjust that for inflation since 2008, the Fed says that we are back to roughly only 1.4% below what the collective net worth of we were all worth as Americans before the correction. And it does show that the ground is being made up in terms of those losses that were incurred. And the market is hot, and so are IPOs at initial public offerings. Hilton, which was taken private by the private equity firm Blackstone and some others back in 2007, is going to go public this week. And the demand for it is so high that not only have they raised the price per share, but they're going to move it back a day. It's actually the IPO for Hilton is going to happen tomorrow, start trading on Thursday under the ticker HLT. They've raised the offering price from $18 to $21 a share. They expect to raise $2.7 billion. And apparently there's so much cash floating around that the demand for this is really high, so they've moved it back a day and raised the price.
John, you pointed out that this quantitative easing has driven a lot of the money to the stock market. I had someone ask me yesterday. I told him, I said, get on the Internet and email John at johntaylor@sternag.com. And he said, no, you ask him. I said, well, all right. And it had to do with this quantitative easing. If they cut back on that, mm-hmm. will that cause the CDs interest rate to go up? Will you get more pay from the banks on CDs?
Unfortunately, no, because the tapering only controls really longer-term rates like mortgage rates and et cetera. Shorter-term rates, which are reflected in CD rates, are controlled by the discount rate, which is 0.25%. And the Fed's indicated that that could stay low for years and years and years. So unfortunately, no, there's no relief in sight for people who have their money in CDs, and that's very unfortunate.
All right, John. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
John Taylor from Stern Agee & Leach at 820 South 21st Street in Fort Smith. He could answer a question or two from you. Visit with him right there or call him at 479-782-2527. That number is 782-2527.